Training programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. According to the Middle East Media Research Institute, an Al-Qaeda website is running a warning issued to Muslims to leave Washington, D.C., New York City, and Los Angeles because of implied imminent terrorist attacks. The directive was issued by the previously unknown Islamic buy-in movement, and the first ran on the Global Islamic Media website on Monday. The Global Islamic Media site has published several messages from jihad groups around the world in recent months. As of Tuesday, there had been no increase in the Pentagon's yellow terror alert status. President Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldiers killed in action, according to White House officials. And when the Chinook helicopter was shot down on Sunday in Iraq, killing 16 Americans and wounding 20 more, Bush stayed out of sight at his ranch. After some of the deadliest attacks yet on American forces, Bush advisors are struggling with the political consequences for a president who has said little publicly about the constant stream of casualties in this occupation. The quandary for Bush is finding a balance between expressing sympathy for fallen soldiers while not drawing more attention to his disregard of casualties by commenting daily on each new death. White House officials say their strategy for now is to avoid having the president mention some deaths but not others, and so avoid inequity. In a major setback to U.S. efforts to attract military help in Iraq, a Turkish official said Tuesday his country won't send troops without a significant change in the security situation there. That makes it virtually certain the United States will have to send thousands more U.S. reservists early next year. About 15,000 Army National Guard troops have been mobilized for possible service in Iraq beginning early next year to replace weary active duty troops who have been there nearly 1 year. In addition, Joint Chief of Staff's Chairman General Richard Myers said recently that the Pentagon might need to call up even more reservists in the support units if Turkey or other countries don't end up sending troops.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Just as scientists thought the sun may be winding down, it has unleashed a solar flare so energetic that it overloaded the detectors on satellites monitoring the sun's surface, making it the largest solar flare ever recorded, surpassing the X-20 flares of 2001 and 1989. A former Belgian ambulance driver put his first aid skills to good use by reviving one of his pond fish with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Leo van Eert, 57, was hosting a party at his home near the Belgian port of Antwerp when his wife noticed the koi, a spotted Japanese carp, acting funny before stopping dead in the water. He figured the koi had had a heart attack and took it out of the water to try and resuscitate it, giving it heart massages before joining lips with the fish.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength My Lanta of liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of light.
The next time some warmongering politico or puff-headed talk radio pontificator asks why rebel groups around the world seem to hate America, say one word back to them. Bolivia. Bolivia is a country rich in resources, yet its majority Indian population is mired in unemployment and poverty. This is because the Europeanized elites who've ruled this country have long joined foreign corporate exploiters in plundering Bolivia's resources and people. This year, however, the people have risen up, thrown their elitist president out of office, and asserted themselves as the new democratic power. They rebel not merely against the president, a millionaire mining executive and diehard proponent of the free market globalization that has devastated Bolivia's economy, but specifically against bullying U.S. corporations and our government's consistent siding with the elites. A central focus of their rebellion has been a U.S.-backed plan to build a pipeline to ship Bolivia's natural gas to our country, while people there go without fuel. Many Bolivians see the U.S. as literally waging war against them, determined to keep the Indian majority powerless and impoverished. Yet, even after the people's successful rebellion and their assertion of the very democratic ideals that our own U.S. of A. was founded on, the Bush government sided not with Bolivia's fledgling democracy movement, but with the old elites. Our State Department, which had aggressively lobbied other Bolivian political leaders to retain the despised president, then went out of its way after he was deposed to praise the old coot for his, quote, commitment to democracy. Our government even flew him to Miami, granting him a public interest pardon. At the same time, it said it regretted the way he was removed by the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, pardon me, but I regret that our corporatized leaders are against people around the world who are striving for democracy.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. Are Americans waking up to the failed conservative agenda? Extraordinary stuff in the news today. Just a few housekeeping things here. First of all, if you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartman.com and push the chat button. It'll take you there. Our quote for the day from Thomas Paine, a long habit of not thinking a thing wrong gives it a superficial appearance of being right, which has been going on for about 20 years here in the United States with the con takeover of so much of the media. We see this is just reaching proportions of bizarre, Orwellian proportions here. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz is now misquoting Iraqi officials for partisan political purposes. It's got nothing to do with the war. It's got to do with elections. Consider this. At Georgetown University, He's relating the story of how he's been asked a question in Iraq by a member of the City Council of Najif. And Wolfowitz says, and I quote, this was last week, "The first question I received was pretty sophisticated. He said, 'What's going to happen to us if George Bush loses the election?' And I can tell you that when they hear the message that we might not be there next year, they get very scared, and that fear leads them not to give us information about where the bad people are. It leads them not to want to serve on the town council. It leads them not to want to risk their lives as policemen. There are thousands of Iraqis right now who are risking their lives for a future freedom for that country, and I think it would be good if they got an unequivocal message of support from this country." In other words, if George Bush loses the election, all these people are going to be in big trouble. And, of course, none of the Democrats are saying that. Not even Dennis Kucinich, who says pull out now, is suggesting that there should be a vacuum, that we should just walk away like we did in Vietnam. everybody is suggesting that there needs to be a multilateral force in there. Here's the fact of this thing. This is from David Srota's Progress Report, Center for American Progress. The actual question that Wolfowitz was asked, that he lied about in this Georgetown University pitch, basically trying to say it's all about George Bush winning the election, the actual question did not refer to George Bush or partisan politics, nor did it assume that a new president would automatically withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq without completing the mission. An assertion Wolfowitz and conservatives are now fear-mongering throughout America and apparently in Iraq as well. The questioner, a city council member from Najaf, actually asked, quote, "Do you think that it is possible for the decision to withdraw troops from Iraq could be taken if a new president is elected?" It's very straightforward. It's just incredible. So, Jesse Jackson Jr. weighs in on Howard Dean yesterday. Oh, I've got we had the election debates last night. Today, by the way, lest we forget, day 114 in the search for the traitor who committed, the senior White House official within the White House, who, according to George Bush Sr., committed the worst kind of treason. Day 114 for the search among all of those senior White House officials, as George W. says.
And I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, right. He doesn't have any idea about a lot of things. So, anyhow, day 114, day 269 in the search for weapons of mass destruction, day 757 in the search for the person who sent anthrax to Pat Leahy, head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and Tom Daschle, head of the Senate Democrats, when the Democrats had control of the Senate because of Jim Jeffords leaving the Republicans, and the fate of the Patriot Act was in the hands of Pat Leahy of the Senate Judiciary Committee and Tom Daschle. And surprise, surprise, they both get anthrax in the mail and nobody else. And they both have to leave their offices for the entire time of the debate until after the bill has been passed. They had to leave all the papers behind because they might be contaminated. All the information. Today is day 757 of the day of the search for the anthrax killer, day 783 in the search for Osama bin Forgotten. So we had the debates last night. But, you know, before I get into that, first of all, I've got a song here I got to play for you. This is from Jim Tur's site, Blue Canyon Productions. Today is Laura Bush's birthday. And later in the week is her wedding anniversary. I think it might be tomorrow or the next day with George W. They've been married 26 years. And I have some empathy for that. Louise and I will have been married 31 years next week, next Tuesday or Wednesday. I'd have to look at it on the 11th anyway. And so Jim's got this marvelous song by, ostensibly, by Laura Bush on his website at Blue Canyon Productions. And it runs just 2 minutes, so I thought I'd quickly share it with you. It's marvelous. Ladies and gentlemen, Laura Bush.
Just a little girl, I knew I'd marry a president. I had a song then going through my head, no idea what it meant. Yes, Saddam, Saddam, I felt that would be the key to national unity. Yes, Saddam, Saddam.
Ah, Laura was psychic.
We beat him not just once, but twice. Both times he slipped through our little hands. But my husband takes after my father-in-law. He's such a patient man.
Yes, Saddam, Saddam. We'll find him somewhere, someday. Maybe he'll just go away. Get Saddam, Saddam.
Sometimes when he's got football on, I say, now, honey, where can he be? He says,
he'll turn up. Just leave me alone, honey, when I'm watching the TV.
Yes, Saddam, Saddam, it used to just be assumed that SLB he was doomed. Yes, Saddam, Saddam, is it true? We'll see. It's a mystery. It's so awfully weird how he disappeared. Get the dumb song.
Yes, indeed, folks. Laura Pickles Bush, as they say. From Blue Canyon Productions, music voiced by Barbara Z, produced by Jim Turr. www.bluecanyonproductions.com. Marvelous, marvelous song there. It takes me back. A little later on, we're going to have a tune by Rush Limbaugh for you from the same source. You can go to the website and their website and listen to it online. But have you noticed all the stories now that are coming out about how George W. is refusing to allow? Well, it's not just George W. I mean, this administration has essentially passed rules, policies, laws, whatever you call it, saying no way can the media go film our dead and injured soldiers coming back. Knight Ritter reports, President Bush withheld comment Monday for this. He's also not talking about it. President Bush withheld comment Monday for the second day on the downing of a U.S. helicopter in Iraq. This is from yesterday's progress report, continuing a White House pattern of ignoring or putting the best face on bad news. Now, adding insult to injury, the White House is playing off the attack as just a minor detail. As the Washington Post reported yesterday, Bush gave two speeches in Alabama and made no specific reference to the helicopter downing on Sunday that killed 16 soldiers, the single deadliest attack against U.S. troops in Iraq. A senior aide said the president kept his remarks broad to reflect reality without getting bogged down in one day's headlines, end quote. I'll tell you what's really going on. What's really going on is these guys remember what Poppy Bush engineered to get done to Jimmy Carter and how Jimmy Carter took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. You will recall that Jimmy Carter was way ahead of Ronald Reagan in that last year of the election. It, right up to about five, six months before the election, Jimmy Carter was way ahead of Ronald Reagan. And people thought Ronald Reagan was a joke. He was a Hollywood actor. He was a cowboy. He was a right-wing extremist. I mean, there was a broad sentiment. If those of you who are old enough to remember, you know, maybe this is why they pulled the miniseries. I don't know. It probably characterizes this stuff. But anyhow, there was a, you know, nobody thought seriously that Reagan would win. And then in Tehran, the government, you know, the Shah fell. The government, the Shah that we had put in place back in, as I recall, 1956, maybe it was 54, and back about the same time that we put Saddam into place. And the Shah fell and was replaced by Ayatollah Khomeini, and these so-called students seized the American embassy and took, as I recall, 54 American hostages, American embassy officials and employees hostage. Within a few days of that, according to Barbara Honegger, who worked inside the White House and wrote a book about this called October Surprise, within a few days of that, George W. Bush, then vice president, I'm sorry, then candidate for vice president, and former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, a lifelong CIA agent, got on an airplane and flew over to Paris and met with representatives of the Shah's government, of the students. And nobody knows for sure what the deal was, but according to Barbara Honegger in her book October Surprise, the deal was you hang on to those hostages until the day of the elections, and we will sell you weapons for your American-made, you got all these American-made missiles and things, and you need spare parts from us because we've been supplying the Shah's army, and now you've got an army and you need our stuff. We'll sell it to you. Remember, it's called the Iran-Contra affair? The Reagan administration payoff for that. And Carter was had the nation praying to release the hostages, not knowing that it was a setup. Bush is not going to walk into the same trap. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to iemericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Grew up in a small town by the mountains and the hills and the plains. Down in those smoky valleys that the workers and the steel mills made. Now they're going to shut those places down, and I don't like the way it makes me feel. Been making steel for 100 years, and I think we got a rotten deal.
And welcome back, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You remember, those of you who are old enough, those of you who aren't, check any history book. Jimmy Carter, when the hostages were taken, could have just said, okay, we're not going to talk about that. And just, that would be it. But Jimmy Carter actually believed that if you prayed for things, you might get results. And that if you pulled a nation together, that the resolve of the nation on the world stage might soften the hearts of the Iranian students who were holding the hostages. And so he asked the nation to pray, and he asked the nation to put yellow ribbons around trees. And we had this whole national thing of, when are the hostages going to come home? And at first it seemed like a really good idea. The first week or two, it really pulled the country together. But he didn't know that George Bush had cut this deal, the Iran-Contra deal, where he'd said, hey, if you'll hang on to those hostages until after the elections, we will sell you spare parts for your military, your American-built military that we had been selling to the Shah. You're going to need those missiles. You're going to need those spare parts. Well, in fact, they already needed them. They had a war coming up with Iraq. And so George Bush had said, you know, we will sell you that stuff, sure. We'll violate our own laws. We will violate international law if you'll just help us win this election. And you remember when the hostages were released? They were released to the minute when Ronald Reagan put his hand on the Bible and took the oath of office. To the minute. It was the Iranians' way of saying, hey, we kept up our end of the deal. Don't you guys forget about your end, because we have the ability to point out to the world this little deal we have. So anyhow, Jimmy Carter effectively committed political suicide by pointing out to the world that these hostages had been taken, that Americans were at risk, and that he couldn't do anything about it. And this is the lesson, of course, that George W. has learned. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. This is why, for example, Knight Ridder reports at Ramstein Air Force Base, military officials prohibited media coverage of the return of the soldiers' flag-draped coffins. The administration also forbids photos of dead soldiers' coffins at Dover Air Force Base at Delaware. The Toronto Star reports, quote, Americans have never seen the other 359 bodies returning from Iraq, nor do they see the wounded cramming the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, or soldiers who say they are being treated inhumanely awaiting medical treatment at Fort Stewart, Georgia. On top of that, Bush does not attend the future funerals of soldiers, breaking a 227-year-long tradition of American presidents. Why? Because it's bad politics. It's bad politics. He knows what his daddy did to Jimmy Carter, and he is not going to allow the Iraqis to do it to him. Or the Democrats, or however you want to say it. I mean, you know, he's not going to allow himself to be seen as the guy who is in charge of a failed foreign policy that is costing the lives of or putting at risk American soldiers. And, you know, I guess politically it makes sense. And then you got, you know, Wolfowitz running around going, saying that, telling people in America that in Iraq they're worried that what if Bush doesn't get reelected, when in fact that's really not at all what they're even saying. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. But I also want to get to the Democratic debate last night. This whole thing with the flag, the Confederate flag, this is fascinating. Congressman Jesse Jackson issued a statement about Howard Dean's statement yesterday. I got a couple clips to play for you from the debate, and we'll get into this. And if you have thoughts on it, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walters says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on with the dreamer.
And welcome back, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Mark in Dallas is on the line. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You are live and on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Say, I wanted to follow up on a comment from yesterday's show. You have a caller, Mike, that calls in. He's a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And he was challenging your criticism of the equities industry, stock market and whatnot. And
yeah, actually, if I can just recalibrate, it wasn't so much that I was criticizing the equities industry. I think that in any industry, you're going to have corruption. And at the same time, in any industry, you're going to have good people doing good work and you know, making money and doing the things that industries are supposed to do. My concern is that when you talk about the commons, the things that our survival depends on, our air, our water, our retirement, our health care, the things that are absolutely vital to us, they are too important to put in the hands of institutions that are by intent created only to generate profit. Instead, they should be put in the hands of institutions that are created by we the people and answerable only to we the people rather than answerable only to profit. And that was my point. Pardon me for going off.
In my comment amplifies on your point.
Okay.
The notion here is that people don't stop to consider is the nature of the organizations doing the work. When you have for-profit organizations, they have a culture of profit. They're driven by profit. They will cut corners to achieve their profit. That doesn't mean they're mean or devious or evil, but that's their motivating factor.
Sure.
You talked about the Social Security, management of the Social Security funds. Government organizations are quite different than for-profit organizations in that they have a culture of mission. So they're driven by their mission. You talked about all those civil servants. They're not driven to cut corners. They're driven by their mission to manage those funds properly. So the point is that people want to ascribe an equivalent set of motivations to these organizations, but they're motivated by quite different things, and that goes into how effectively they do their job for the particular purpose.
Both in their culture and in their actual structure.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Very well said, Mark.
You're welcome.
Very well
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Excellent point. By the way, just as an FYI, as soon as I get off the air here today, I am dashing off. I've got a 5 o'clock flight this afternoon to Germany, where I will be over the weekend, and I will report back on what old Europe thinks of America. Tomorrow, the program will be, I believe, is going to be a best of. It's going to be a repeat of a previous program on Friday. My old friend Rama Schneider is going to be here, right here in our studio here in Vermont, sitting behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone, moderating the program. And if things work out, I may have a chance to call in from Germany and say hi to you and be a guest on my own show. And on Monday, I'll be flying home all day Monday. I'm going for a weekend conference in Steinach in dem Frankenwald. And so anyhow, on Monday also we'll be playing a best of program, and I'll be back live on Tuesday. So, but I will have email. I will be reading the message board if you want to stay in touch. Now back to this. Well, actually, first we, you know, sometimes people go off to jail. And they kind of get into the culture, you know, or they go off to rehab and they kind of get into the culture and they change a little bit and their tastes in music and all kinds of things. Hey, this apparently just smuggled out of rehab.
EIB, Excellent Incarcerated Broadcasting, brings you live from Cell Block 9, the biggest mouth in the big house.
Rush Limbaugh!
Yes, I'm in the slammer, thanks very much, but I can still yammer. I haven't lost my touch. It's Friday, time for open line. Be a couple hundred more till I've done my time. Get down. I'll just keep talking truth and motherhood to Main Street, now the Aryan Brotherhood. And every time I mention that drugs ain't worth it, they credit me 6 months community service. Ha! Liberals! Don't you just love them? Yeah, I got my crew, in case you imagine you can mess with me in any fashion. You really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice. Come over here, big fella.
Yeah, the big man's putting us on the map. So for all we care, he can yap, yap, yap. 14 hours a day, you can squeal and shout. Just shut your pie hole when the lights go out.
Here's my firm and unyielding belief. Now, just to make sure you don't miss my point, I'm not closing down just because I'm in the joint. But I ain't no little Jesus. I'm rushed, so there's no way I'm eating this mealy mush. No, those who do the work of educating and informing need a little extra fuel to start the morning. So if you don't like my grabbing an extra meal, have a talk over here with my man Shaquille. Feel the rhythm. So friends and fans across the fruited plain, fear not, for I shall rise again. Next time with a little more empathy for the dregs and the druggies like you. And me, I suppose.
Yes. From Jim Turr and Blue Canyon Productions. BlueCanyonProductions.com on the internet. The Rush song from Rehab. Anyhow, back to this thing with the American flag, or the Confederate flag, rather. Let me just play a few clips from last night's debate. This was fascinating how this gang up happened right off the bat. I mean, of course, CNN, as you know, it's theater. I mean, they're in the business of getting people watching so that they can deliver commercials to them. Everybody understands this. It's ostensibly news, but theater always helps. And theater, you know, controversy makes theater. And so they started right off with the first question, as I recall. I didn't catch the very beginning of the show, but I believe that the first question was, one of the first questions certainly was about this. And so let's see where we go here with this.
Every single one of us ought to celebrate the Marlins.
This preceded this.
The Yankees. The reason it's extra special is that's the first legitimate victory out of Florida since 2000.
Yeah, okay. So, John Kerry. Now, here comes Howard Dean.
Now, I understand the legacy of bigotry in this country. We need to bring folks together in this race, just like Martin Luther King tried to do before he was killed. He was right. Now, I make no apologies for reaching out to poor white people.
But the Confederate flag is not for white people. And that sounds more like Stonewall Jackson than Jesse Jackson. And
here comes the food fight, you know.
Jesse Jackson went to South Carolina with all of us protesting the flag. The issue's not poor Southern whites. Most poor Southern whites don't wear a Confederate flag. And you ought not try to stereotype that.
All right, let me...
Yeah, I think at that point... Reverend Al Sharpton didn't realize that the Jesse Jackson Jr., Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., had already issued a statement about what Howard Dean said. And, in fact, let me read you part of it. He said, this from Congressman Jesse L. Jackson Jr. yesterday. He said, this year we celebrated the 40th anniversary of Dr. King's famous speech in front of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963. 40 years later, Dr. Howard Dean is reminding us that the great task of uniting the northern black and white urban poor and working class and the southern black and white rural poor and working class around common economic issues, good health care, high quality schools, and affordable housing is the key to wresting our democracy away from the race-oriented Republican right wing. He goes on to say, Democrats were not competitive in the South in 2000, and we have struggled to survive, to thrive, and in some instances survive since Richard Nixon and the Republican Party began using their race-based Southern strategy in 1968. Then he talks about how they've used all these wedge strategies. He says, that's why they make wedge issues out of prayer in the school, the Ten Commandments in public buildings, civil unions, the false allegation that Democrats want to take away Hunter's guns, choice for women, the controversy of having the words under God and the Pledge of Allegiance and the Confederate flag. You know, pointing out all these things, wedge issues. And then he says, lest we forget, and this is really important, lest we forget, Congressman Jesse L. Jackson, Jr., the Confederate flag is the Democratic Party's historic contribution to the South. And current Democratic candidates have not been able to figure out how to come to grips with their own historic symbol. And he wraps up saying, it is Dr. Dean who is reminding us that the combination of poor and working class blacks and whites, North and South, united in coalition around a common economic agenda of jobs, health care, education, and housing will constitute a winning strategy in 2004. But these guys in the debate last night, they just, you know, they didn't want to have any part of it. They just they wanted to get into this food fight. I mean, it was just incredible. And then of course, On it goes, on the debate went.
Unless I missed something, Governor Dean still has not said he was wrong. Were you wrong, Howard? Were you wrong?
See, and that is John Edwards going, you know, how dare he say that he... See, the question that Howard Dean should have asked of all of the other candidates, I don't understand why he didn't do this. Howard Dean should have turned to John Edwards and said, okay, John, are you telling me that somebody in South Carolina who drives around the Confederate flag on the back of their car, you don't want them to vote for you? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That's the question he should have been asking. But anyhow, here's how it went down.
No, I wasn't, John Edwards, because people who vote, who fly the Confederate flag, I think they are wrong, because I think the Confederate flag is a racist symbol. But I think there are a lot of poor people who fly that flag because the Republicans have been dividing us by race since 1968 with their Southern race strategy. I am tired of being divided by race in this country. I'm tired of being divided by abortion, by gay rights. I want to go down to the South and talk to people who don't make any more than anybody else up north, but keep voting Republican against their own economic interests, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you know, as they said in the CNN commentary afterwards, he was not necessarily the most articulate about saying it. But, you know, clearly nobody was accusing Howard Dean of being a racist. I mean, but I don't think that he realized the minefield he was stepping into either, frankly. I mean, he's a Vermont guy, grew up in New York and Vermont, and he worked in he was a teacher in an inner city school in New York before he went back to medical school for a while. But he never lived in the South. I lived in Atlanta for 18 years, or for 17 out of 18 years. And I remember the battles. I remember when Zell Miller tried to take the Confederate battle flag out of the Georgia state flag. These are tough topics. I mean, these are really some really tough topics. And on the one hand, Howard Dean could have been a little more articulate about this. On the other hand, I agree with Jesse Jackson. I agree with Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. that this is vital. That if Democrats are going to win in 2004, they have to reach out to those folks, middle class, working class people, poor people, you know, right across the spectrum in the South. Who put the Confederate flag out and feel some pride in it and don't necessarily realize how that is making some others feel, or maybe even they do. I mean, you know, should the Democrats be going after the racist vote? I don't know. You know, it's no, I don't. Actually, the answer is no. They shouldn't be going after it on the basis of race like the Republicans did. I mean, that was Richard Nixon's whole Southern strategy from 1968. You listen to the White House tapes now and you know that the whole thing was, let's appeal to those George Wallace voters. Let's appeal to the anti-segregation voters. It was a naked appeal to race. And it's been pursued by the Republican Party right up until today. I mean, here you got Trent Lotches the other day, you know, just earlier in the year going, oh, yeah, things would have been a whole lot better if... what's his name had been elected president, the issue of the flag, I doubt this thing is going to go away tomorrow morning, but it should, because it's not the way the other candidates are handling it is not helping the Democrats. It's playing right into the Republican strategy. I wish these guys would get it. Then there were some, you know, a few other comments that were made last night that are worthy of reporting.
Well, to answer your questions, no, I would not have voted for the Iraq War. I never saw an imminent threat with Saddam Hussein. And
this Wesley Clark from his 30-second commercial.
I don't believe we should be using force unless it's an absolute last resort. I am pro-choice, and I'm a strong believer in affirmative action. It's the right thing to do. It works. It's about the American idea of equal opportunity, and I don't care what the other candidates say.
And continues.
That's why I'm running for president. I never expected to do it. But I will tell you this. In the fall of 65, I went to Georgetown University for a student.
This is really weak. This was really weak where he goes on. I knew Bill Clinton.
Conference, you know, on the Atlantic community. And I met another young guy from Arkansas. His name was Bill Clinton. And I knew he was going to run for president.
Yeah, I have a feeling Wesley Clark, you know, he got pushed into this thing by the DLC types, and maybe now he's running for vice president. I don't know. Time will tell. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number, Kevin in Tampa, Florida, is on the line. Hey, Kevin, how are you today?
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
Great. What's up?
Ready for your plane ride, right?
Yeah, I'm all packed and ready to run out the door.
Got to sleep for that one. It's a long one.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to talk about this Howard Dean comment.
Okay, when we got about a minute here, Kevin.
Yeah, when I first heard it, I knew what he meant, and I agree with what he meant. I live here in the South, and I have these pickup trucks with Confederate flags around. But he used the wrong words, and that was very bad judgment.
Yeah.
He said it the wrong way. And he continued to. And when you use this Confederate flag with all the fighting going on through all the southern states now about having the Confederate flag on the state flag or not, that is a buzzword, and you know the Republicans are going to use it.
Yeah.
And they're going to use it to divide, as they have been for the last 30-plus years.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see if Howard Dean comes out and says, oops, you know, or if he stays with this thing. I don't think he, I agree with his sentiment, and I understood what he said. Good point, Kevin. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Joe in Texas, hang on. We'll take your call right after the break. This is the radio support group of, by, and for We the People. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Tired of making minimum payments on your credit cards? Do you have a lot of credit card debt? Then call DITECH.com right now for a home equity loan with a no-closing cost option. Pay off those credit cards once and for all without paying closing costs. A home equity loan from DITECH.com. Just call 1-800-DITECH-1. That's 1-800-DITECH-1. Or log on to DITECH.com for terms and license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees,
some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Joe in Texas on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Not my crowd. I'm used to calling America.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too. Hey, Joe.
I'm just going to say stuff, but I think Howard Dean got a bum rap myself on that deal.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though I'm a consensus supporter myself, but, you know. Well, anyway, I think he got a bum rap, and I'm going to tell you what I think about people who fly the flag down here in poor whites in the South. I was raised in one of the poorest counties in Texas, Red River County.
Mm-hmm.
It always voted Democrat up to George Bush.
Mm.
Now, it got more and more and more and more. But from what I read of people around here, most of them that vote this religious idolatry. You know, they vote religion, and for some reason they think Republican Party on it.
Yeah.
And I just think that I don't believe you can reach these people. I mean, I hope he can, but
the Republicans and their media, they've certainly done a good job, like with Fox News, you know, reaching, implying that only the Republicans are the ones who have any morality, et cetera, you know.
I've heard people say down here, well, I wouldn't vote for a Democrat. I don't know why I would, but I just wouldn't. And they have this, liberal, you know. That's the nasty words down here. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just talking about the only place here in Texas where I know that there's a pretty liberal place is around Austin down there.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
Joe, thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it very much. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservative.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those ads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
you
put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. According to the Middle East Media Research Institute, an Al-Qaeda website is running a warning issued to Muslims to leave Washington, D.C., New York City, and Los Angeles because of implied imminent terrorist attacks. The directive was issued by the previously unknown Islamic Bayan movement, and the first ran on the Global Islamic Media website on Monday. The Global Islamic Media site has published several messages from jihad groups around the world in recent months. As of Tuesday, there had been no increase in the Pentagon's yellow terror alert status. President Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldiers killed in action, according to White House officials. And when the Chinook helicopter was shot down on Sunday in Iraq, killing 16 Americans and wounding 20 more, Bush stayed out of sight at his ranch. After some of the deadliest attacks yet on American forces, Bush advisors are struggling with the political consequences for a president who has said little publicly about the constant stream of casualties in this occupation. The quandary for Bush is finding a balance between expressing sympathy for fallen soldiers while not drawing more attention to his disregard of casualties by commenting daily on each new death. White House officials say their strategy for now is to avoid having the president mention some deaths but not others, and so avoid inequity. In a major setback to U.S. efforts to attract military help in Iraq, a Turkish official said Tuesday his country won't send troops without a significant change in the security situation there. That makes it virtually certain the United States will have to send thousands more U.S. reservists early next year. About 15,000 Army National Guard troops have been mobilized for possible service in Iraq beginning early next year to replace weary active duty troops who have been there nearly 1 year. In addition, Joint Chief of Staff's Chairman General Richard Myers said recently that the Pentagon might need to call up even more reservists in the support units if Turkey or other countries don't end up sending troops.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Just as scientists thought the sun may be winding down, it has unleashed a solar flare so energetic that it overloaded the detectors on satellites monitoring the sun's surface, making it the largest solar flare ever recorded, surpassing the X-20 flares of 2001 and 1989. 2 months ago, mobile phones were forbidden in tense Indian Kashmir. Now anyone can wirelessly surf the World Wide Web from the houseboats and gondolas dotting the waters of its famous Dal Lake. In a bid to woo back foreign tourists scared off by a bloody separatist rebellion, authorities have made the sprawling lake in its summer capital the world's latest wireless fidelity or Wi-Fi hotspot.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The next time some warmongering politico or puff-headed talk radio pontificator asks why rebel groups around the world seem to hate America, say one word back to them. Bolivia. Bolivia is a country rich in resources, yet its majority Indian population is mired in unemployment and poverty. This is because the Europeanized elites who've ruled this country have long joined foreign corporate exploiters in plundering Bolivia's resources and people. This year, however, the people have risen up, thrown their elitist president out of office, and asserted themselves as the new democratic power. They rebel not merely against the president, a millionaire mining executive and diehard proponent of the free market globalization that has devastated Bolivia's economy, but specifically against bullying U.S. corporations and our government's consistent siding with the elites. A central focus of their rebellion has been a U.S.-backed plan to build a pipeline to ship Bolivia's natural gas to our country, while people there go without fuel. Many Bolivians see the U.S. as literally waging war against them, determined to keep the Indian majority powerless and impoverished. Yet, even after the people's successful rebellion and their assertion of the very democratic ideals that our own U.S. of A. was founded on, the Bush government sided not with Bolivia's fledgling democracy movement, but with the old elites. Our State Department, which had aggressively lobbied other Bolivian political leaders to retain the despised president, then went out of its way after he was deposed to praise the old coot for his, quote, commitment to democracy. Our government even flew him to Miami, granting him a public interest pardon. At the same time, it said it regretted the way he was removed by the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, pardon me, but I regret that our corporatized leaders are against people around the world who are striving for democracy.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Today, I just got, actually yesterday, the November issue of New Scientist, which is a popular science publication, sort of like Scientific American for the UK. It's actually, in my opinion, much better. New Scientist is, along with Science News, are my two favorite science publications, and I subscribe to both of them. And here's this article by Fred Pierce. He says, the Arctic ice cap, long summer shrink Arctic ice cap is the headline. The Arctic ice cap is much more vulnerable to global warming than previously thought. A single extra day of summer has a measurable effect on ice thickness the following year, according to the first detailed investigation of year-on-year variations in the thickness of Arctic sea ice. These findings will stoke fears that the entire Arctic Ocean could be ice-free within a few decades, earlier than climate modelers' gloomiest predictions. In the past 5 years, declassified data from U.S. submarines has showed that Arctic sea ice may have thinned by as much as 40% in the last 50 years. And then they go on to point out that these findings reinforce growing evidence that the general trend of global warming is much more dramatic and much more dynamic than has been expected. Well, in this next segment here, we have John Bockstace, who actually or Bakhtos, who actually has been out in those areas and written several books about them. John's most recent book, High Latitude North Atlantic, 30,000 Miles Through Cold Seas in History. He's an Arctic historian and archaeologist and has lived, worked, and traveled extensively in the North. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman's program.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, my pleasure. Tell us, what's going on in the Arctic?
Well, I see it from the deck of a sailboat, so I can't speak for the submariner, but I've heard those same reports. For many years, I was a trustee of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts here, and that definitely seems to be a recent effect, a thinning of the Arctic ice. I've noticed it myself in being able to travel in places I couldn't do in the 60s and 70s. But the question remains whether this is anthropogenically triggered or if it's a cyclical warming pattern that has gone on through history.
Or
and
both.
I can't give you the answer.
Yeah. What does the North Pole tell us about our planet's overall health?
Well, it basically is a litmus test for the general warming of the entire globe. Recently, there were some stories about open water at the North Pole. And the New York Times jumped on that pretty heavily, but many people pointed out immediately, and the New York Times backtracked fast a few days later, that there always is open water at the North Pole during the summer. The sea ice breaks up, and there are fissures and cracks and little openings. So I wouldn't read too much into that particular thing. But I will say that the ice is retreating to some degree. And there's an aspect of this which was not brought up in those reports, and that is that if we do get some global warming and melting of the Arctic ice cap to some degree, that will obviously put a great deal of fresh water into the North Atlantic from the Greenland ice cap. Now, fresh water is lighter than salt water, so it floats on top of seawater. Now, why is that important? Well, many oceans
are you getting to the thermohaline circulation, the great
right.
Atlantic conveyor belt?
Yes, indeed. And if that fresh water should overspread the very saline water, which is the end of the Gulf Stream that collapses into the Arctic Ocean north of Spitsbergen, then of course forces a great equal outflow on the deep water, which runs all the way down to the Antarctic. That could really stop the basic heat pump of the oceans, which acts to moderate climate rather than accentuate it. And that would mean we have a very cold series of winters in Europe, for instance, because the Gulf Stream wouldn't be pumping the same kind of heat that way.
Yeah, it would be more than cold. I mean, we talked about this in this program some months ago after I had read, I'm forgetting now. There's a great new book out about the evolution of human minds. And it's actually and I have a book out that talks about this same issue, and the warm water coming up around the southern tip of South America, coming up as the Gulf Stream, bringing this heat up into Europe, and this very real concern that if enough water melts off Greenland or if enough of the icebergs or the ice, you know, floating ice in the Atlantic melts, that it'll shut down this great conveyor belt, and then that's not just going to cool down Europe; it could throw it into an ice age.
Yes, that's true, and that's not scare science either. That's not junk science. I think there are a lot of really solid oceanographers who stand behind that idea.
Oh, yeah. It was first published about 6 years ago, the speculation in Nature. I mean, you know, a good, solid, peer-reviewed publication, and there have been a number of papers since that time. This is a very real and legitimate concern. The people in Europe, it's interesting, I travel in Europe a lot, and the folks in Europe know about this stuff. I mean, they're into, particularly in the UK, they are into it because they realize that they're at the latitude of Alaska. And if the North Atlantic current shuts down as a result of this global warming, then boom, they're going to have the same crops as Alaska. I mean, they're basically, you know, you've got 600 million people being fed by Europe. Pardon?
Yeah, there aren't many crops in Alaska.
No, that's, you know, you got 4 foot pine trees, and that's about it. Brain for All Seasons was the book.
It's closer to the analogous to Labrador, which is where I sail and talk about in this book, High Latitude North Atlantic. And that's northern Labrador is has very, very stunted trees, if any at all. And they're very spindly little black spruces, which are so gnarled and weather-beaten that you feel sorry for them.
Yeah, we're talking to John Bakhtos, who is the author of High Latitude North Atlantic, his most recent book. He's written several other books, Whales, Ice, and Men. John, we've just got a few minutes here left in this interview. I'm wondering what led you to start getting on boats and flying into sailing into this incredibly inhospitable regions of the planet.
Well, when I graduated from high school in 1962, I immediately took a job at a medical mission on the coast of Labrador called the Grenfell Mission. It's not a religious mission; it's a medical mission. And I just fell in love with the people, the land, and the whole area. And I became an Arctic archaeologist and worked mostly in Western Alaska for a long time. But recently, I've been working in the latitudes of the North Atlantic.
Yeah. What do you think is going to? I mean, what's your sense of what's going to happen? How quickly it's going to happen, and how the world might react to it here?
I really don't know. You're talking to an archaeologist here. I think there are plenty of solid scientists who are very worried, and there is evidence that things can happen very, very abruptly if you force the issue too hard. That the old equilibrium of back and forth suddenly will completely destabilize, and you'll have a flip flop, and that is reflected in the ice cores of the Greenland ice cap.
Yeah, it's like a light switch. People think that these are linear processes where you get a small incremental change over a long period of time and you get gradual transitions. And actually, it's more like a light switch where you lift the light switch a quarter of an inch and the room is still dark. And you lift it another eighth of an inch and the room is still dark. And then you lift it another eighth of an inch to the halfway point, and all of a sudden, boom, the room goes light, right, because the light comes on.
And the lesson is don't screw around with Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's the bottom line here, and we are getting mighty close, it seems, to some real significant changes. I'm curious if these solar flares have anything to do with it either, but that's way beyond the realm of this. John, people can find your book, I assume, in any bookstore?
Yes, it's on Amazon, High Latitude North Atlantic, it's published by Mystic Seaport in Mystic, Connecticut, and my name is spelled B-O-C-K-S-T-O-C-E.
Great, and you describe the book as what, an adventure, a science?
It's a journey in the wake of the early European discoverers, the Vikings and the early English and Portuguese and French men who moved west across the Atlantic at the time of Columbus.
Great, fascinating stuff. John, thank you very much for being with us on the program
today. Thank you.
I truly appreciate it. Back to the economy, back to politics. Not that this is actually a digression from politics, because the Bush administration environmental policies, the Bush administration deleting global warming issues from the Environmental Protection Agency report. I mean, this whole huge deletion, and they replaced multiple pages of concerns about these very issues with something that we don't know what's going on here. This is a disaster. I mean, this administration has had such a cavalier attitude toward all things that, toward anything except, I mean, the only thing that they're taking seriously are corporations who are large enough to give campaign contributions to Republicans. That's it. And the appropriate amount of pandering, let's talk about God in the schools, and let's talk about the flag, and let's talk about prayer, and pandering to people who are so obsessed with one single issue that they'll just focus on that. So they pick up a whole bunch of these little wedge issues, and they pick up enough people to come along, and then they get all this cash from the corporations, and boom, off they go. And by the way, this is the conservative trick, not just the Republican trick. There are conservative Democrats who are doing this too. Zell Miller is probably the most famous at the moment, but he's by no means the only one. I'm very concerned about the whole Democratic Leadership Council, this whole thing that Bill Clinton got started. But I digress. The Senate passed the $87 billion Iraqi spending bill. You probably noticed day before yesterday on a voice vote. You know how many people were showed up for that vote? Six. Only Robert Byrd said no. And a voice vote, no record. No record of who said what. And because the Senate voted down Senator Joe Biden's amendment to reduce the Bush tax cut for millionaires, all the money, according to the New York Times, will be added to the year's record budget deficit. In other words, that $87 billion is not just $87 billion. It's $87 billion plus the interest we're going to have to pay on it every year until our children start paying it off. Sometimes I'm just speechless. I mean, it's just The president championed his tax cut. Here's the economy. You know, in Birmingham, Alabama, day before yesterday, George Bush was down in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, it's funny how you get this little blip of one good economic statistic just before an election, and the Republicans are suddenly all over it. You know, like butter on toast. I mean, they're just all over this thing, and pushing, hey, the Republican agenda, it works. You know, we're seeing the economy coming back, and Republicans won a couple of elections yesterday. Some would say in part because of this one little statistic, but let's look at it in context. Yesterday, day before yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, the president championed his tax cuts, noting the Crane Works, the crane rental company where he was speaking, had added 15 jobs this year. Isn't that wonderful? What he failed to point out was that the city of Birmingham has lost 4,700 jobs since he came into office, and the state of Alabama has lost 51,000 jobs since he took office. He went on to say that government shouldn't try to pick or choose winners and losers and who gets tax relief. Yeah, right. But his 2001 tax cut picked out those who make between $27,000 and $44,000 to get only $600 in tax cuts, while choosing those making more than $373,000 to get $53,000 in tax cuts. No, we shouldn't pick winners and losers, he says. He then claimed that prior to 9/11, the economy began to recover somewhat because of its first tax cut. Of course, that is a bald-faced lie. The economy was contracting the first three quarters of 2001. Once again, George W. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man, when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We the people will defeat the evildoers.
Welcome back to the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our number 1-800-TALK. Yes, 1-800-825-5937. And Michael in Powder Springs, Georgia is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome back. What's up?
How you doing, Tom?
I am great. How about you?
Last hour, but I caught the first hour. There are a few things that I guess you may have some misstatements there. Chief among them, well, let's start with Bush Sr. and his CIA connection with Iran. Do you have some type of hard evidence, i.e. a transcript that he had with Khomeini and pals, specifically dictating that we hold the hostages there for a while?
Mike, I would encourage you to get a copy of...
Tom, I want a direct answer here. You remember when we said we're exposing the demagoguing in Democrats, and that's exactly what I'm doing here. Do you have...
Mike, you're trying to interrogate me? You're kidding.
Well, it's going to be rather easy, Tom,
Mike,
because all I'm asking you to do is come up with some facts. Say if you had, like, DNA...
Mike, I'm saying that Barbara Honegger is saying it. I'm not saying that I am saying it. I'm saying Barbara Honegger is saying it, and if you want to know about it, you need to read her book. And she does cite documents in there.
Is she alleging that is a fact, Tom? Yes,
and she is. She is alleging it's a fact, and she worked in the White House.
She has documentation to back it up as well as...
And she does, yes.
She does, okay.
Check out her book. It's called October Surprise, Barbara Honegger. She used to work in the White House during the Bush-Reagan administration.
So what you're saying is that her whole thing is completely true.
I'm saying that she says it's true. I'm saying that from my point of view, it has a lot of credibility, particularly because when the Republicans, when the Iran-Contra investigation started, the Republicans were successful in getting a clause, a rider attached to the legislation authorizing that investigation, which required that Congress could not ask any questions of any witnesses or search for any documentation that preceded the inauguration of Ronald Reagan that had to do with Iran and the Iran-Contra affair.
For one minute that George Bush, who was the leader of the CIA, might have some actual connections with some of the Shah's former intelligence people, and they may have sway at what happens in that government, and he's attempting to get those people back. Does that ever enter into your thought process? Or is
I think you're making my point, Mike.
Theory?
I think you're making my point.
No,
they were good buddies.
What you're saying is basically that we went over there and stifled our own people and kept them hostage to make a political aim.
That's what
the
I'm
Democrats
saying, yes.
Will do. And that's something that's been clearly proven by the memo that just leaked out of Rockefeller's office. They'll take things to make political gain for. And another part of your demagogy...
Hang on just a second. What are you talking about?
You remember the memo that just leaked out of Rockefeller's
office? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Imagine
Educate
that.
Me.
Well,
we got
I'll
about
let
a minute
you look
left
it up,
here,
and
Mike.
I'm sure it'll be on the news here. But the next thing I want to bring up is other demagoguing that you take, I guess, a great pleasure in. Gillespie, the leader of the Republican Party. You continue to link him with Enron. Do you also have hard evidence that he's committed some type of crime? Or are you just linking
He was a lobbyist for Enron.
That's
Mike, he was a lobbyist for Enron.
Okay, is that a crime? Now, who
is Enron a criminal organization?
I have no idea. The facts haven't
Has Enron committed a crime?
Say again?
Has Enron ever committed a crime?
I know Ken Lace committed a crime, but I don't see the company committing a crime. And if someone who works for a company, so you are inferring that anyone who worked for Enron, including those who were cheated out of their savings, they're criminal too? Is that what you're alleging?
Mike, no, what I'm alleging is that Ed Gillespie, who is the chairman of the Republican National Committee, was
a lobbyist for
Enron Corporation, and that we and the people of America have to figure out that the Republican agenda is promoting the agenda of the big corporations at the expense of democracy and at the expense of the American people. Mike, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, Larry in Jacksonville, Alabama. Hang on, we'll pick up your call right on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman, Truth Without Conflicts of Global Corporate Interest. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walters says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific
on the IE America Radio Network. The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Economic news here. The Center for Economic and Policy Research just released a study showing that the Bush economy has been especially hard on young people. It's interesting how many young people call themselves Republicans and just, I mean, they're clueless. Unemployment among 18 to 30-year-olds has risen 2.9% since the economy peaked in 2000 and now stands at 9.3%. 9.3%. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Larry in Jacksonville, Alabama, is on the line. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I am alive and kicking.
Well,
and
I'm a very true listener of you and Mike Malloy at nighttime on the IE Network.
Mike's a good man.
And what I was calling to inform you of, the last caller was talking about a memorandum that came out yesterday. Well,
yeah,
this memorandum
the
came
news.
Out first on the Sean Hannity show.
Oh, okay. Surprise, surprise.
The Republican whipping boy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he called Pat Roberts immediately and had him call the show. And Pat Roberts even admitted, Sean, this thing don't have any truth to it that we know of. It don't even have a signature. And so Sean is going on and going on about this memorandum. What I think is that the committee that him and Jay Rockefeller heads is coming to some kind of conclusion that George Bush is guilty of the charges. So they're trying how the war got started.
Oh, you mean of lying to us?
Right. And so I think the Republicans is coming out with this thing. Well, the Democrats say we're going to find Bush guilty any way it goes. It's supposed to be some kind of three-step measure that they was going by.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
What they're doing is trying to head it off and say, well, even if he's not guilty or guilty, the Democrats have found him guilty already. So I think that's what that's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, in the court of public opinion, certainly around the world, George Bush has already been found guilty. And apparently in the United States, he's if not guilty, very close to it of having lied to us. And, I mean, Clinton lied, nobody died. George lied, and about 20,000, 30,000 people at least have died, human beings, every single one of them, just as loving life as you and me. And it's sad.
You would think if this was such a big issue that this would have been in the newspapers today. I think the newspapers are really going to search into this maybe and see if there's any truth to it. I think it's something that's been concocted to try to make
the
Democrats.
So Mike's been getting his news from right wing talk radio then.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Larry, for setting me straight. I appreciate the info, and I will keep my eyes out for it.
Appreciate that, and I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling in, Larry. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. It is 23 minutes before the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and Billy in California is on the line. Hey, Billy, how's life today?
Not bad, Tom. How about for you?
I'm here.
Now,
actually, I'm soon going to be there. By about 10 hours from now, I'll be landing in Frankfurt, Germany. So.
Ooh, you are going to be there. Very good. What are you going there for?
I'm just going for a weekend conference, visit some friends. I'm speaking at this conference in Stettsteinach, and I'm coming back on Monday.
What's the subject of the conference? Say it in English, not in German.
Yeah, no. The subject of the conference actually is mysticism. So, which is a topic that I don't get into much on this program.
Hey, you nutball.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. The hidden side of me.
You can explain something to me that I don't understand. As you know, I'm really a very emotional, passionate man. But the only
and
thing
I respect that,
that. The only thing that tops that is my intelligence. And
I agree.
I uh, I'm confused. I really am confused because today is the day that George Bush will sign this late-term abortion bill,
right,
which clearly states in it that, or doesn't state in it, that if a woman is about to die, if she doesn't have the procedure, we won't, you know, they can do the procedure. What is it about women that they will put up with this? Why aren't the women, I mean, you and I don't have, our wives are already past that danger.
Yeah.
But I still think I still can't get over it. It just bugs the hell out of me. Wait, am I crazy or is
yeah,
there something wrong
and,
with this country?
And my daughters are not past that danger.
There you go.
And in fact, I haven't read the bill, but a number of people who have and who comment on such things and do so with opinions that I respect have suggested that this is so loosely written that it won't survive a constitutional challenge in the Supreme Court, because...
No, it's written so as to just sort of keep pushing that ball down upon us.
Yeah, that this is all about politics and nothing about abortion. That if they really wanted to outlaw even late term abortion, that they could do it with legislation that would be specific. But that this is really about pandering.
Yeah,
this is pandering to the right wing religious extremists.
But what is it about these people, these Republicans, and not just the conservatives? You have to say the Republicans, that they wouldn't allow an amendment for the life of a woman.
They've still bought into that old thing about the two nudists and the snake, as John Edwards or John Stewart said.
It's still
said
about Eve, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just Eve. And Eve in the Judeo-Christian tradition, and the Greeks had Pandora in her box. I mean, if you look at all of these,
don't talk dirty.
Most of the hierarchical male-dominated religions, in fact, virtually all of them have creation stories that involve the fall of man as the consequence of a mistake or an intentional malicious act on the part of a woman
that have justified for thousands
of years the oppression of women.
But you and I have wives that we get to dominate and make pay for that sin. I don't have to make every woman pay for that sin. I got one that I'd like to do it to.
Yeah, right. I can't explain it, Billy. I think that there is a real serious mental illness going on among the people on the extreme right. It's a cultural sickness. It's an absolute cultural sickness.
Let's just suggest to all the girls out there, all the women out there, that you get on your phone tree and you get each other excited about this and you use this to move George Bush and all those Republicans who just won those governorships. My God, what are people thinking?
Get them out of power, yeah. Billy, I got 6 calls on hold right now, so I got to get on to it. But thanks for raising that point. I appreciate it. Well said. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. David in San Francisco. We got David in Santa Fe, Paul in Detroit, Scott in Santa Fe, and Jim in Santa Fe. We will get to you. Let's start with David in San Francisco. David, what's up?
Hey, hi, Tom. I am watching C-SPAN, and they are going on about First of all, it's Senator Mike Crapo from Idaho. Is talking about being able to keep the derivatives markets going. And you have a little more knowledge about economics than I do, it sounds like. And if you get a chance to talk about what derivatives are, I'd appreciate it. But essentially this came about because Senator Feinstein from out here in California was trying to get some protection against further Enron activities around the nation. And as I understand it, there is an electronic trading arrangement in the stock market that's going on that's allowing what used to be protected, the consumer stock market protections of the Security Exchange Commission, this electronics trading, they're able to declare that some things are protected when they are not and some things that are not protected are.
Yeah, this is what Elliot Spitzer's been ranting about in New York State. We were talking about yesterday.
Exactly. I didn't catch yesterday's show, so maybe you can elaborate on this. But essentially, you're probably aware of the derivatives trading down in Orange County, right?
I am not.
Well, this happened during the late Reagan, early Bush administration. Let's see, if I remember right, derivatives are when you can essentially speculate on the margin of change between a stock's high and low, and so you can essentially take this bubble of money in the middle, in this margin.
It's like betting on a bet.
Yeah, essentially. But essentially what they did was they propped up Orange County's retirement fund based upon derivatives. And they essentially looted Orange County. And if the listeners don't realize how important Orange County is to Republicans, this is the Garden of Eden of Republicans. This is their holy shrine. And when the Republicans got looted by other Republicans, something like $2 billion got looted out of Orange County by the Bush people. This is why George Bush didn't even bother coming to California in the year 2000, because they hated him so much, because he and his dad saw to it that because the savings and loans crooks...
Well, and his brother was one of them, you know, was Silverado in Colorado,
right.
Neil Bush.
Right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, just as a side note, I was able to attend Neil Bush's hearing with the Resolution Trust there, but I'll talk about that another day. But essentially, derivatives, if you get any chance to talk about this, Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho is talking about keeping these derivative scams going, and it's funny because these Republicans are all intent to keep looting other Republicans. And,
well, that's the bottom line. I mean, it's not just other Republicans. It's all of America. It's stealing the American commons. What you've got is now the financial industry has become the largest donor to the Republican Party in the last 2 years, replacing Big Oil, which was the previous largest donor to the, you know, the Big Oil has got what they want. They've got Iraq. They've got 10% of the world's oil now. And so now the financial industry is salivating over the Social Security Trust Fund and the possibility of maybe handling some of that cash that goes through Medicare, but particularly Social Security. And so they're just pouring the money into the Republicans. And you know, any scams that they want, these guys who are in their employ are going to continue. It's a mess. David, I got to move on. I got a couple more calls here. I appreciate the call. I will keep my eyes out for more information on that. And in fact, tonight when I get to the airport, I'll see if I can get a copy of the London Financial Times, which usually has a really good analysis of American financial shenanigans and politics that doesn't have quite the spin of the Wall Street Journal. David in Santa Fe is on the line, 1-800-TALK. Yes, hey David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
Hey Tom, I got a short topical joke for us.
Okay.
All right, so a guy dies and goes up to heaven, and St. Peter's going through the intake process with him, and he's walking him down this long hall that has a clock for every person in existence on the wall. And the guy's, St. Peter's walking him up to his personal clock, and on the way he's passing some famous people. He says, "What are these clocks for?" He said, "Oh, these are honesty clocks. Here's Mother Teresa's clock, and it's at noon. She's never told a lie. Here's Abraham Lincoln's clock. It's at 2 minutes after noon or 12 o'clock. He's only told two lies." So they go walking along, and the guy says, "Well, I don't see George Bush's clock anywhere." He says, "Oh, Jesus has it in his office. He's using it for a ceiling fan."
Thank you, David. Good one. I appreciate the call. 1-800-TALK, yes. 1-800-825-5937. Paul in Detroit, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Paul, I used to live in Detroit. How's the old town doing?
Well, it's potholes, but I'll be very quick, Tom.
Sure.
In today's New York Times, there's a terrific article that's online. There's a terrific article in regards to the Walmart using subcontractors to hire illegal immigrants in their stores.
Mm-hmm.
There's been quite a few articles in New York Times, and today's is terrific. They're saying in today's article that Walmart executives have been well aware of the use of illegal immigrant labor through a multi-layer of subcontractors. The subcontract, and then they'd file bankruptcy, it says in the article, routinely file bankruptcy.
The subcontractors.
Yes. Oh, yes. So that way they cover their themselves because they're not paying any Social Security on the workers.
Right,
The workers in cash.
Yeah, this is like how Enron used to create offshore corporations to hide profits.
Oh, yeah, sure. And one other thing, too, is when the worker was injured on the job and had to go to the hospital, the Walmart was well aware that the subcontractor had, with no insurance, no workman's comp, that the hospitals were forced to absorb the cost of doing something with the injured worker.
You know, Paul, it's bigger than that. We are all supporting Walmart because if you work full-time at Walmart and you've got a family of four, you're still below the poverty level and you're eligible for food stamps and other kinds of public assistance, Medicare and whatnot. And so, and that is all paid for by you and me with our tax dollars. We are supporting Walmart with our tax dollars, not just the when they come into a community, they get a big tax break on the land, and not just the damage, the economic damage that they're doing by putting all these small businesses out of business, but we are directly supporting them by supporting their employees, which gives them the power, the ability to pay people these slave wages.
You're right. And one final note on this whole deal. Forbes magazine a couple issues ago stated that the children who inherited the Walmart fortune, the five children, are worth $84 billion.
Right. And it's increasing every single day. Every night in every Walmart all over the country, a button gets pushed and all the money from that local community, like a giant vacuum cleaner, goes off to Little Rock, and yeah, a little bit comes back to the local communities, but most of it is going to end up in the hands of these folks. Well said, Paul. Thank you for the call, and thanks for raising that issue. Scott in Santa Fe. Scott, we got about a minute left here. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Thank you, Tom, and I'll wish you a good trip to Germany. I have a real
Thank
quick
you.
Tidbit about the origins of our flag. I'm wondering if you know that it's directly based on the old flag of the British East India Company.
Yeah, I have actually a chapter about that in a book I wrote called Unequal Protection.
Okay.
They had the stars and bars,
well,
and up in the upper left-hand corner they had the flag of the UK.
I didn't know you had written about it, too. I was astonished when I came across that. I just, you know, I know that you talk about, you put all these pieces together routinely, but I hadn't heard you say that, and I haven't read your book yet.
Yeah, well, it's actually, I think the chapter that talks about that maybe is online. You can read it for free. Just go to tomhartman.com and click on Unequal Protection, and you'll find that chapter. It's the chapter about the Boston Tea Party. Thanks for the call, Scott. I appreciate it. Jim in Santa Fe, hang on. We'll take your call right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the True People's Radio. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. Congress. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love.
Welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and Jim in Santa Fe has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I'm glad to hear you say a little while ago and often that what's in the middle of this debate is a sickness, this neocon mentality. And I see it really, you know, we can talk about issues all day. But I think people like Rush Limbaugh, and maybe you agree, and all his clones in the conservative press have just so marginalized and demonized anything that they can call liberal that the specifics don't even matter. People don't even want to think about it or talk about it. It's just you can't get past that point of that hysteria.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the reasons why Rush was addicted to painkillers, because I suspect that he was, you know, I think he probably started out at real, in fact, I used to listen to him years ago. I think that he really believed, he had the kind of Ayn Rand idealism, you know, he had a vision, maybe if corporations really did rule the world, everything would work out right.
So you think he's having a conscience attack now?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's been, you know, over the last 6-8 years, particularly the last 2 or 3 years, seeing the world that his worldview has created, and I wouldn't be able to live with myself without taking
pills. Oh boy, I think you're being too kind. But I think the way Joe said it, who called about an hour ago, is really starkly true. The way people can't even conceive of anything they think is coming from liberals. But I want to ask you about something else, something you touched on today. I was so appalled to hear that on this $87 million spending bill in the Senate, that it was done by voice vote, so nobody could, and it, this is the largest military spending bill of all time, yeah, $87 billion, that they wouldn't even take a recorded vote. How often does that happen?
This is a bill that is larger than the budgets of six of the cabinet departments in the United States government.
And how often does this happen, that they won't take a voice, a recorded vote? When did this all start?
Oh, they've been doing that forever. They've been doing that forever, Jim. That is not new, and it's not, frankly, all that unusual, particularly when something's really controversial and there's a pretty good consensus on it. It's a tragedy. It's an American tragedy. Jim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio News Network, the place where smart people get their news. We'll be back.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. According to the Middle East Media Research Institute, an Al-Qaeda website is running a warning issued to Muslims to leave Washington, D.C., New York City, and Los Angeles because of implied imminent terrorist attacks. The directive was issued by the previously unknown Islamic Bayan movement, and the first ran on the Global Islamic Media website on Monday. The Global Islamic Media site has published several messages from jihad groups around the world in recent months. As of Tuesday, there had been no increase in the Pentagon's yellow terror alert status. President Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldiers killed in action, according to White House officials. And when the Chinook helicopter was shot down on Sunday in Iraq, killing 16 Americans and wounding 20 more, Bush stayed out of sight at his ranch. After some of the deadliest attacks yet on American forces, Bush advisors are struggling with the political consequences for a president who has said little publicly about the constant stream of casualties in this occupation. The quandary for Bush is finding a balance between expressing sympathy for fallen soldiers while not drawing more attention to his disregard of casualties by commenting daily on each new death. White House officials say their strategy for now is to avoid having the president mention some deaths but not others, and so avoid inequity. In a major setback to U.S. efforts to attract military help in Iraq, a Turkish official said Tuesday his country won't send troops without a significant change in the security situation there. That makes it virtually certain the United States will have to send thousands more U.S. reservists early next year. About 15,000 Army National Guard troops have been mobilized for possible service in Iraq beginning early next year to replace weary active duty troops who have been there nearly 1 year. In addition, Joint Chief of Staff's Chairman General Richard Myers said recently that the Pentagon might need to call up even more reservists in the support units if Turkey or other countries don't end up sending troops.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Just as scientists thought the sun may be winding down, it has unleashed a solar flare so energetic that it overloaded the detectors on satellites monitoring the sun's surface, making it the largest solar flare ever recorded, surpassing the X-20 flares of 2001 and 1989. A former Belgian ambulance driver put his first aid skills to good use by reviving one of his pond fish with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Leo van Aert, 57, was hosting a party at his home near the Belgian port of Antwerp when his wife noticed the koi, a spotted Japanese carp, acting funny before stopping dead in the water. He figured the koi had had a heart attack and took it out of the water to try and resuscitate it, giving it heart massages before joining lips with the fish.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
The next time some warmongering politico or puff-headed talk radio pontificator asks why rebel groups around the world seem to hate America, say one word back to them. Bolivia. Bolivia is a country rich in resources, yet its majority Indian population is mired in unemployment and poverty. This is because the Europeanized elites who've ruled this country have long joined foreign corporate exploiters in plundering Bolivia's resources and people. This year, however, the people have risen up, thrown their elitist president out of office, and asserted themselves as the new democratic power. They rebel not merely against the president, a millionaire mining executive and diehard proponent of the free market globalization that has devastated Bolivia's economy, but specifically against bullying U.S. corporations and our government's consistent siding with the elites. A central focus of their rebellion has been a U.S.-backed plan to build a pipeline to ship Bolivia's natural gas to our country, while people there go without fuel. Many Bolivians see the U.S. as literally waging war against them, determined to keep the Indian majority powerless and impoverished. Yet, even after the people's successful rebellion and their assertion of the very democratic ideals that our own U.S. of A. was founded on, the Bush government sided not with Bolivia's fledgling democracy movement, but with the old elites. Our State Department, which had aggressively lobbied other Bolivian political leaders to retain the despised president, then went out of its way after he was deposed to praise the old coot for his, quote, commitment to democracy. Our government even flew him to Miami, granting him a public interest pardon. At the same time, it said it regretted the way he was removed by the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, pardon me, but I regret that our corporatized leaders are against people around the world who are striving for democracy.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast, from border to border. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The New York Times. Oh, by the way, our chat room is really full today. Lots of folks in there. Fascinating conversation. Somebody pasted in a URL to a site where you can actually see the new Monica Lewinsky postage stamp. I'm not sure how tasteful that is to... Oh, there we go again. Anyway, the New York Times reports today... Oh, and if you want to get to our chat room, just go to tomhartman.com and click on the chat button. It'll take you to a forum in CompuServe. You click the chat button there, and boom, you are in. The New York Times reports today that America's most recent cash crop is cotton. Get this. Our government currently pays, quoting the New York Times, nearly $1.7 billion to American agribusiness and manufacturers to buy American cotton that is already known as one of the most highly subsidized crops in the world, end quote. And you can bet it's not mom and pop who are getting that $1.7 billion. It is the pioneers and rangers of the Bush campaign. Known as the, quote, Upland Cotton Marketing Certificate Program, end quote, the measure serves to subsidize cotton twice, according to yesterday's progress report from the Center for American Progress, as Uncle Sam pays farmers to grow it, then manufacturers to buy it. Millions of taxpayer dollars are flooding into big, powerful cotton corporations at the expense of taxpayers and the global market. The New York Times said, the subsidies for American cotton farmers, $10 billion over 7 years, were partly responsible for the breakdown of the global trade talks in Cancun, Mexico in September. Amazing. Here's another little tidbit. Interesting. Wyoming, the home of Dick Cheney, gets 7 times as much money per capita from the Department of Homeland Security to fight terrorism as does that traditionally Democratic state, California. Now, maybe the governor will change that, or the groperator, or whatever he's... Kevin, the Doonesbury has let up on him recently. Let's see how that goes. And this is nice. Yesterday, the Progress Report mentioned this program. New Progressive Talk Radio, they say station at the network, and it's not new. We've been on the air for a little more than half a year. But they point out the Talkers Magazine said nice things about us. Anyhow, that sounds too much like I'm blowing my own horn, so I'm not going to go there. Some of this economic stuff, I think, is fascinating. Number one, just some factoids for you here that, you know, when you put these things together and you get one of those ka-chings, you know, these are all from the Wall Street Journal over the last few days. Overall, U.S. consumer credit grew about $8.2 billion in August. Now, we've seen this increase in economic activity, but $8.2 billion, we went deeper in debt. This supports the assertion that I shared with you early in the week, as I recall, that was put forth by the Financial Times of the UK, the UK publication, that suggests that the boom, as it were, this little minor economic boom that we saw over the last 3 months, that the Republicans rode to victory in Kentucky and Alabama or Mississippi, I guess it was, and have made so much fanfare out of just in time for the elections. And, of course, there are some who are wondering, you know, where did these stats come from? But anyhow, the Financial Times says, well, this boom is the result of people refinancing their houses and taking that equity and spending it. In other words, the American middle class is going deeper in debt, and they're just doing it quickly. And so that creates this little burp of economic activity. And there's a pretty broad consensus among economists that this thing is not going to stand. It's not going to hold up. And then the Wall Street Journal gets into two really interesting aspects of how this whole tax, the real agenda behind the tax cuts. It's not just about to give money to rich people. It's actually much more insidious than that. And they just lay it out. I'll tell you about it right after this call. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Linda in New Orleans is on the line. Hey, Linda, how's the... I'm drawing a blank. What's the name of the city? What do you call it, New Orleans?
New Orleans, but I live in the metro area. I don't live directly in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there
a name for it, though? It's like the Queen City or something like that?
It's the Big Easy.
The Big Easy, that's right. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, you were talking about cotton subsidies.
Yes.
Okay, Louisiana is a poor state, and I just want to let you know that there are a large number of family farms here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who do get cotton subsidies who are not mega corporations. And I'd like to give you one example of a farm subsidy. My nephew and I own a very small piece of land, 80 acres, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we were only making money on this piece of land maybe 5 years out of 10 because we would sharecrop it out and people would just harvest too late and get their crop insurance and not pay us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no recourse. But we entered into a program called the Conservation Reserve Program, which is an environmental program.
Mm-hmm.
We planted trees. And it's like a forest. It's not like a tree plantation, you know, where they're every 2 feet apart. It's
right.
Like what a natural forest would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting a subsidy every year from this program, and it would only last 15 years. But I think it's a great program.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we're not making a lot of money because we don't have a lot of land.
Yeah.
But there are people who have a lot of land who are making a lot of money. But it's benefiting the environment. They can't cut the trees down once they enter into the program.
Yeah, we have a similar program here in Vermont. It's called the Land Use Program. And if you sign an agreement, Louise and I own 50 acres just down south of town here. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you sign an agreement with the state that says that you will not log that land beyond what is required to keep land healthy,
mm-hmm.
to keep a forest healthy. In other words, you can take out, you know, diseased trees and things,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. If you'll sign that agreement and keep to it, then there's a substantial reduction in property taxes. I think it's about half.
Oh, that's good.
But the year that you decide to go in and log your mm-hmm. land, then they take a big whack. I mean, they go back several years and suck it back out. So there's a real strong incentive once you're in land use to stay in land use. And that has been a tremendous boon to this state in terms of keeping forest, not just forest, but healthy forests
mm-hmm.
intact. And that's an example of we the people collectively through our government, and you see it really vividly in Vermont because I think the state legislators here make like $10,000 or $20,000 a year. It's a part time job. I think it's $17,000, and they're really they tend to be more responsive to the people, and where we say this is the kind of world that we'd like to live in, and we're willing to make some kind of compromises with ourselves to support this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're describing, which sounds like our land use program, is not the cotton subsidy.
No,
tell me about the cotton subsidy.
Yeah, it's a subsidy, but this is like an environmental program. And now we had a choice, and my nephew and I discussed this, and we're environmentalists. So this is what we decided to enter into. But I do know this, Tom, in the area where my land is located, there are many, many small farmers. And now my land was not suitable for cotton farming. But many of these other people have land that is suitable for that. And they are probably getting subsidies. And this is an area along the Red River and the Atchafalaya River where there are a lot of small farmers.
Yeah. Now, Linda, you have cotton growers in third world nations all
right.
over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these cotton growers have discovered, and the big area where this happened first was corn. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
that's the big battlefield. But it's happening in cotton as well. A lot of them have discovered that they can't sell their locally grown cotton in their local markets
mm-hmm.
because American cotton is cheaper, and it's not cheaper because we're producing it more cheaply.
No.
It's cheaper because the cotton growers in America are being given taxpayer dollars to and it drives down the price of the cotton. And how does that benefit them, and how does that benefit us?
Well, you're right. You're right about that. It does not benefit us. The only way I think it would be a benefit is if the mega corporations, and listen, they're growing in number, these agribusiness corporations, could not enter into this program. They're too rich. They don't need it.
Yeah.
Maybe someone who owns 80 acres or 100 acres. Yeah. Okay for
them. Then it would be more like leveling the playing field so that you know they've got huge economies of scale and you don't, and so you're compensated in some way to balance out the advantage that they have.
Right.
But that's different than trying to subsidize cotton in such a way that it turns it into an export crop that is creating. I helped start a program in the slums of Bogota, Colombia, mm-hmm. and the La Paz slum is filled with farmers, with people who came to the city because they couldn't farm anymore, and they couldn't farm because all of these crops are being subsidized in the United States and some of them in Mexico as well, and they couldn't sell. You can't sell local product,
right?
And we're just, you know, we're creating not just political damage, not just poverty, but we're creating social and political instability.
And we're doing
all around the world.
We're doing it globally. Do you know that I read that in Bolivia, the mines in Bolivia used to be owned by the government, and the workers received a living wage. Well, they privatized, and Bechtel bought the mines and laid off immediately 50% of the workers. And as you were saying that these workers end up in the slums, that is exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And in fact, this trip I'm making to Germany tomorrow, that's the organization that I've been doing volunteer work for 25 years, that's where I'm going. It's called Kinder und Jugendhilfswerk Salem, and I helped start what was originally a relief station is now a hospital in Uganda, and we took over a blind children's home and an orphanage and a leper colony in India, and I helped start a program in Bogota and one in Lima, Peru, and there are others around the world, and I've seen up close and personal the consequences of our trade policies all around the world. We are creating poverty, and then these huge corporations come in and just suck people dry, as you described, and it's anti-democratic. This is the real conservative agenda. It is an agenda of feudalism, of a new aristocracy, the new feudal lords, the new owners of the land, owners of the business, and owners of the workers. Linda, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. You make a great point. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. Democrats. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Tune in to IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Marianne Williamson Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm glad you're with me. I will be on every Monday through Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Lawford.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat in America. Can't get away with that. On the eve of destruction again, and he's got the knack. He's the cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman live on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you for staying tuned. A couple of things about tax cuts I just wanted to share with you. There was an article last Tuesday in the Wall Street Journal by a Nobel laureate in economics, Mr. Gary S. Becker et al., along with Lazar and Murphy. And they talk about economic theory and empirical evidence suggests that spending often adjusts to available tax revenue rather than the other way around. Fancy way of saying that the government will, if you want to cut spending, if you want to do away with social programs, if you want to have people terrified that they will get sick or that they won't have a retirement unless they work for your corporation, if you want to do away with the social programs, according to this article in the Wall Street Journal, the technique, I mean, they don't get into the Machiavellian part of it there that I just attributed it to, but they say, economic theory and empirical evidence suggest that spending often adjusts to available tax revenue rather than the other way around. In other words, people think that the way it works is that you cut spending and then you can cut taxes. And they say, in fact, if you look back, well, they point out, federal spending declined relative to GDP in the late 80s and through most of the 90s. Now, why was that? Because of Reagan's tax cuts. He threw the government into a deficit, and it was such a severe deficit that it caused the Reagan recession, it caused the George W. Bush recession, and it took a tax increase on the part of Bill Clinton, and progressive spending cuts throughout that entire, you know, from Reagan forward to bring us back into some semblance of equilibrium before George W. decided to go off half-cocked and do it all over again. And the outcome of this, well, in fact, as they say, The need to meet payments on the debt helped pressure Congress and the Clinton administration to enact welfare reform, cut defense spending, and increase efforts to rein in federal spending on Social Security and health. It is highly unlikely that any of these would have occurred without the need to adjust spending to growing interest payments on the rising debt due to continuing deficits. And here's the kicker. And then they say the looming federal deficits that many forecast today will affect the size of future federal spending. And they talk about Medicare and Medicaid health systems and Social Security. All this stuff is going to end up on the block. See, that's the agenda of the conservatives, is let's get rid of Social Security. And if we must have it, we'll call it a necessary evil, and we'll put it in the hands of folks in Wall Street who will kick back a few hundred million bucks to the Republicans and the conservative Democrats when it comes time to get reelected. But let's, as Alan Greenspan so famously said, it's just Alan Greenspan here. It's Mr. I'm quoting now from the Wall Street Journal again. Mr. Greenspan, for one, scrutinizes worker insecurity. He has said in recent remarks that he believes a pervasive fear of unemployment has kept wage demands modest. See, the conservatives think this is a good thing. No social safety net means you will be willing to go to work at Walmart for whatever they decide they're going to pay you. And if they don't want you to have a union, then you can't have a union. And if they don't want you to have health care benefits, you can't. And whatever they want, they're going to get, because you got nothing to fall back on. That's the conservative agenda. Bust the unions. Promote the corporations. And right after the break, I got to tell you how the Republicans are setting a trap for the Democrats, and the Democrats are just walking right into it. It has to do with all this stuff. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be back with more of the True People's Radio.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new wave of disease is springing from our difficult relationship with the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. SARS, West Nile virus, and monkeypox recently joined a growing list of diseases that have jumped from animals into humans. Mark Jerome Walters says we can expect more to come. Walters is the author of a new book called Six Modern Plagues, and he says we've entered into an age of what he calls ecodemics.
They can come from many sources. Many may have lingered for many, many years, even thousands of years, in the environment. And then for the first time, somehow, people have come in direct contact with it and become infected.
Walters says Lyme disease is one example. It spread after suburban development put people into prime Lyme disease habitat along the edges of hardwood forests. Walters says many new and emerging diseases infect humans after undergoing genetic changes that make them more infectious. He says HIV appears to be a mutated form of a disease that was present in apes. People likely became infected by eating chimpanzees, a practice that spread when loggers moved deep into Central African forests. Walter says our crowded world and changing climate are perfect for the spread of disease-causing organisms.
We are not protected the way communities once were, isolated from an outbreak with vast stretches of geography or rivers in between or oceans. The world is becoming one large petri dish, and this has taken us into an era of ecodemics that we are probably going to be in for a very, very long time.
That's Mark Jerome Walters, author of Six Modern Plagues. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
T Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on with the dreamer.
And welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Republicans supply an economic trap for the Democrats. I have to admit, I wasn't clever enough to come up with this on my own, although it makes perfect sense. Alan Murray wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week in the Political Capital column. And he points out that most Americans were not in favor of the tax cuts, right? In fact, he says, I'll quote from the article. Polls show most Americans weren't eager to receive a tax cut in the first place. But now that the money is in their paychecks, they won't be happy to give it up, especially after Mr. Bush floods the airwaves with advertisements reminding people what's at stake. And he goes on to say that Kerry, Lieberman, Edwards, Clark have all suggested that they'd repeal the tax cuts. And, this is a theory that 25 years ago, Jude Waninsky, a former editorial writer for the Wall Street Journal, first put forward. Jude suggested what he called the two Santa Claus theory. This was put forth by a Wall Street Journal editorial writer 25 years ago, as a strategy for the Republicans. Those of you who are old enough to remember will remember that the Republicans historically were the party of balanced budgets. They went nuts when FDR borrowed money, went into deficit spending to pay for World War II. I mean, it was over the top. You know, how can he borrow? My God, And then LBJ with the Vietnam War, and of course Nixon cranked it up even worse, and we paid the consequences of that. But then Newt came along, and remember the Contract on America? I mean, part of it was a balanced budget amendment. The Republicans historically were the party of balanced budgets. So this guy comes along, Jude Waninsky, and says we should have the two Santa Claus theory. And here, quoting from Alan Murray in this column, Republicans Supply an Economic Trap for the Democrats, he argued Democrats were winning elections by playing Santa with government spending programs, while Republicans were losing them by being responsible and focusing on deficits. The solution, he said, was for the Republican Party to abandon the green eye shades and become the Santa of tax cuts. And then he adds, and so it has. In other words, this was a calculated political equation. You play Santa Claus, you go to people, and the dual Santa Claus, you go to them and you give them huge tax cuts, which really aren't tax cuts because you're going into deficit spending. So really what they are is borrowing from future generations and giving that money to people in the present generation. And calling it a tax cut, because you can't really have a tax cut unless you still have a balanced budget. Otherwise, you're borrowing. So so step one is borrow from future generations, give it to people, and call it a tax cut. So people think that their taxes have been cut. They don't realize that they're still going to have to pay that bill because it's been borrowed in your name. And not only are you and I going to have to pay the bill, we're going to have to pay it with interest. Santa Claus number one. And Santa Claus number two, keep spending money. Just keep on spending the money. Keep those programs going until they hit a wall. And when they hit a wall, somebody's going to have to be responsible. Somebody's going to have to behave responsibly. Somebody's going to have to come out and say, you know, we got a disaster here. And if the Republicans just keep quiet long enough, the Democrats will do it. The Democrats will come forward and say, hey, this is a disaster. We can't have this. And sure enough, they're quoting from Alan Murray's article in the Wall Street Journal. Vermont Governor Howard Dean, who is leading in New Hampshire, and former House Democratic leader Dick Gephardt, who appears to be ahead in Iowa, have walked right into the president's trap, calling for complete repeal of the Bush tax cuts. In other words, they're doing the anti-Santa. Remarkable. So Mr. Bush seems to have the Democrats checked, as in chess, you know, check, checkmate. And they are all stuck peddling responsibility and sacrifice, an unpleasant alternative to Mr. Bush's cash on the barrel. And he asks rhetorically, is there a way out? One possibility is the deficits will begin to bite as they did in the late 1980s and early 1990s, causing interest rates to rise and putting a painful pinch on both business and debt-strapped consumers. But that squeeze, while inevitable, is unlikely to hit before next November. You get it? How cynical the conservatives are, how absolutely they are manipulating the American people in the most mind-bogglingly cynical fashion. Wanted to just play a couple more clips from the Democratic debate. I thought there was some good stuff in there. There's some interesting stuff, some funny stuff. And Wes Clark made a point that nobody has talked about that I thought was brilliant. I'm going to play that one last. Here's just a few little pieces here. I'll start out.
Well, I think the first thing going through my head would be to make sure that Bush has all of his stuff out.
That was Al Sharpton when he was asked what he would think right after his first morning in the White House, you know. Then they asked Dennis Kucinich how he keeps things fresh by never losing the idealism he had when he was 20. He says, you got to rock the boat.
If you want to rock the boat, you have to rock the boat. You have to be willing to challenge the status quo.
Yep. Amen. And now, Kerry, we said it here first. In the last debate, we saw the beginning of a new strategy that Kerry's going to use against Dean. A few days later, he posed for a photo op while hunting. It's interesting to catch a strategy at the beginning and watch it take shape. Here it is, John Kerry's new anti-Howard Dean strategy.
Howard Dean and I have a huge difference on guns and what's appropriate. I don't want to be the candidate of the NRA in this country. I don't think the Democratic Party should be the candidate of the NRA.
And of course, Dean got up and defended himself on that one. But now Al Sharpton has a way of just, you know, he just paints pictures. He tells stories and he says, hey, you know, here's what's really going on, you guys. And talking about the economy and all these, you know, how do you respond to the comment that the gross domestic product has risen 7% or an annual 7% rate over the last quarter and all the economists are excited that all the Republicans are saying, you know, everything's going to be great. And they asked Al Sharpton this. He had some thoughts on it.
It's like somebody that is at a hospital and surgeons compare notes on how great they were and how effective they were, but the patient died. You can't talk about recovery without talking to those who needed to be recovered.
Yeah, well said. And this was the the perhaps most bizarre moment of the evening was a young woman got up and said, this is sort of a boxers or brief question, you know, personality question. Who among the rest of your group would you most like to party with, to really get down and party with? I think Lieberman actually, I think, made the most awkward gaffe of the evening, trying to pander to this young woman who asked the question. But some of the rest of the answers were, strange, frankly, I think.
Well, first of all, this sounds like a run-up to a version of Survivor. This was really interesting.
My brother.
It's Kucinich.
I hope my wife understands this. I'd like to party with the young lady who asked that question.
Big mistake.
Good. Trevor Sharpton?
Al Sharpton.
Mine understands it. I'd probably, the best person I met to campaign to party with, Mrs. Kerry. I'm sorry.
I was going to choose Carol Moseley Braun, but now I'm going to have to choose you so I can keep an eye on my wife.
So, you know, this is how the thing ended. It's entertainment, I suppose. But here's the thing that Wes Clark said, that as to the best of my knowledge, all of the Democratic candidates agree with. Although I may be wrong, you know, let me know. To drop into our chat room or come by the message board and post a message or drop me an email. But as far as I know, all of the Democratic candidates agree with this position, and I think it's the only rational position on embargoes of nations with whose behavior we disagree. And here's Wes Clark on that.
That's why I'm against embargoes. They don't work.
Like Cuba.
When you isolate a country, you strengthen the dictators in it. If you want to change the dictators, you've got to open it up so ordinary people in those countries can see what they're missing in the rest of the world.
And that is so true. I've traveled through and spent time and worked in countries that were just plain old flat-out dictatorships and horrible places and awful governments. And those, you know, where things open up and Americans come in and participate and things like that, not just Americans, the free world, shall we say, good things happen. I think it's a very, very positive, hopeful thing. Just an FYI, CommonDreams.org yesterday published our 12-step program for people who are recovering from right-wing talk radio. If you've been addicted or influenced by right-wing talk radio, we have a 12-step program for you to help you recover. Very straightforward. Number one, admit that you are under the sway of right-wing anti-democracy radicals. This is the first step for every conservative or ditto-head listener on the way to recovery. And anyhow, we go through all these 12 steps. The 12th step being, be a visionary. Share the word with other folks. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Chad in Kentucky is on the line. Hey, Chad, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got 2 points to make. One is that I'm not a ditto head, but I do listen to conservative talk radio because it's the only choice I have in the small town I reside in. We have a very Republican-based newspaper here that owns the only AM station that plays talk radio, so I listen to Rush. Just that way I can argue better with the conservatives their own point.
Good on you, Chad. I live in central Vermont, in probably one of the most liberal parts of the United States, and most of the talk, virtually all of the talk radio around here is also this right-wing stuff. But that's changing very quickly. Bernie Sanders has his own program, and Anthony Polina, one of the progressive candidates here, has got one. So I think the pendulum is starting to swing back. This program is starting to be picked up by a lot of stations around the country. But that's not what you called about, is it?
What? No, it's not. I called today because I know you guys have been talking about the presidential elections coming up, and mm-hmm. and I think that we, as many Democrats listen to your show, we need to come together and select a candidate that is going to be most likely to beat Bush in the upcoming race. It's going to be close. It's going to be tight. And there's two areas of the country that are going to be battlegrounds, and that's going to be your Midwest and your South. places like California and their surrounding areas and New York and that surrounding areas, they're going to go for the Democratic nomination almost no matter who that is.
Right.
So I think that we've got to pick a candidate that best would do the best damage in the Midwest and the South.
Yeah, I think that Howard Dean trying to reach out to people who drive around with Confederate flags was a clumsy, awkward, but an attempt to do what you're talking about, reaching out to the South and the Midwest.
Yeah, and also in a speech in Boulder, Colorado, he called himself a metrosexual, which that's not going to appeal to anybody with a Confederate flag on their truck in Kentucky or the rest of the South.
That doesn't even appeal to me.
No, it doesn't appeal to me either. No. But moving past that, I think that John Edwards is probably our best chance to do some damage in the South and in the Midwest. I mean, he's got a Southern accent, he's young, and you look at the last two presidents we've had, they both have come from the South, being Clinton and Carter.
Yeah.
So if we want to have a viable candidate at the presidency, I think we have to go with John Edwards.
Do you think that he has a chance? I mean, he's not registering at the top of Iowa or New Hampshire. Do you think he's going to sweep the South?
No. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get third in both Iowa and New Hampshire. That's
right.
What's going to happen. And once he becomes that, Gephardt probably pulls out Iowa, and Dean probably pulls out New Hampshire. Once we get past those two primary states, where the people that vote in those primaries in that caucus are a little bit more left than the rest of the primaries, we will go to South Carolina, Arizona, Tennessee, very southern conservative states that John will do a lot better in. And he's leading the polls in South Carolina, and I think that he's going to become the anti-Dean candidate.
Yeah.
And if we want to, and if it does come down to Dean and Edwards, like it probably will, and we want to have a chance at doing damage in the South and winning the Midwest, we're not going to be able to do it with a metrosexual.
Yeah, you know, I didn't hear or know about that comment. I'd like to know the context. I'm surprised that Dean would say that, but he was our governor here for 10 years, and I lived in this state for 8 years that he was the governor, and he does say what's on his mind, and I frankly admire that, but occasionally it bites him. Chad, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Interesting perspective. David in Houston, hang on the line. We'll take your call right after the break. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shop. And call the bank.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
With uncommon sense from the radical middle, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. David in Houston has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, David, what's up? David?
Hi.
Hey. Hello? You're on the air.
Yes. I was wondering if you knew what John Kerry's stance was regarding our relationship with Israel, because Howard Dean was talking about how it's time to end our biased support for Israel, which I completely agree with. But I wasn't sure where John Kerry stood on that.
I don't know either. One of the things that would be really useful is if somebody would publish, and it's probably out there and probably on the Internet, and I just don't know where, and no doubt somebody will post it on our message board and let me know. But basically, you know, a side-by-side summary of the various candidates' positions on these various issues. I don't know what Kerry has said about that. I have guesses, but I'd rather not say them because I may well be wrong. So,
okay.
But it is an issue, and I think, you know, I think, David, that Dean was very courageous in saying what he said, and I think it was important and needs to be said that, you know, it's enough. I mean, enough people have died. Enough craziness has happened in the Middle East. It's time for some rationality to be brought into this process. And Sharon's technique of dealing with it is not rational, and neither is Yasser Arafat's. It's just nuts.
And he was heavily heckled by Lieberman, saying that we, you know, United States should not end our 50 years of history of support for Israel. But I mean, what did that 50 years get us?
Well, and you can support somebody without. I mean, there's a difference between support and you know, it's like with an alcoholic. I mean, if you keep buying them drinks, are you supporting them?
Exactly. And yeah. we can't, you know, act like we're the arbiters when we're so biased towards one side.
Yeah, I think we have to be honest brokers. I think actually Jimmy Carter got close to doing that during the Camp David Accords and played that role quite well. And you know, unfortunately, just didn't work out. But maybe with a new president in 2004, there will be a possibility of peace in the Middle East. Wouldn't that be wonderful? David, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson. Joe down in Atlanta. Engineered in Detroit by Steph Stryker and Shard Jones. Thanks for joining us today. I'll be back live next Tuesday. But tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.